Okay, shout out to Astapro for sponsoring this episode and providing me with free samples. My allergies in Nashville, actually everywhere I've been going, have been throwing my whole week off, and I just don't feel like myself when I have, you know, the old sniffles or when I'm sneezing nonstop. And let me tell you, it makes podcasting very hard. So I've been using Astapro every time my allergies kind of flare up, and I'm always just amazed at how fast I'm back in the game. So I've been continuing to use Astapro to help, and so should you. Astapro is a first of its kind nasal allergy spray, and it's the fastest 24-hour over-the-counter allergy spray. So it starts working in 30 minutes while other allergy sprays take hours, and Astapro is the first and only 24-hour steroid-free allergy spray. Astapro delivers full prescription strength indoor and outdoor allergy relief from nasal congestion, runny and itchy nose, and sneezing. Get fast-acting nasal allergy symptom relief with Astapro. Go to astaproallergy.com for a discount so you can Astapro and go today. Astaproallergy.com. Astapro and go. Use as directed for relief of nasal congestion, runny nose, sneezing, and itchy nose due to allergies. This week's Off the Vine is sponsored by TurboTax. Get your taxes filed quickly and easily and get back to all those amazing things people do every day. TurboTax. All people are tax people. Geico. Go to geico.com and in 15 minutes you could be saving 15% or more on car insurance. Extra money in your pocket? It just may be the most rewarding to-do you do today. Jersey Shore. Don't miss an all-new Jersey Shore this Thursday, January 7th at 8, 7 Central, only on MTV. And Caldrea. Get free shipping on orders of $50 or more when you buy online at caldrea.com. That's CALDREA.com. Add wonder to your washing.
Who's down with OTV? Who's down with OTV? Who's down with OTV?
Podcast One presents Off the Vine with Caitlin Bristow. Caitlin is creating a space where girls and gents can feel empowered to be themselves. Get ready for lots of laughs,
taboo topics,
unfiltered advice, and wine.
Lots of wine.
Get ready to shake things up. Here's Caitlin.
Welcome to Off the Vine. I'm your host, Caitlin Bristow. Today on the podcast, I have someone who has such an incredible career, relationship, just outlook on life in general. She's amazing. I really enjoy her, just having her as a friend. She's a podcaster, TV personality, red carpet correspondent, Emmy award-winning co-host who you've seen on the makeover show, How Do I Look, and the daytime talk show, The Real. She's also a fashionista who is always sharing amazing tips and tricks on Entertainment Tonight, Extra, Insider, Today, and more. Plus, you may have seen her on the seasons Dancing with the Stars with Me, who I seriously think would have been in the finals if she didn't have to so suddenly leave to take care of her health, which we talk about today. That being said, she's feeling better. I'm so excited to chat with her. And then I'm also going to be on her podcast, Listen Honey. I hope you enjoy this podcast with Jeannie Mai. All right, you're unique and so are your taxes. TurboTax Live has experienced tax experts who listen to you, learn about your unique tax situations, and answer your questions. And on top of all of that, they can do your taxes from start to finish. Maybe you started investing and you want some reassurance from an expert that you're doing things right. Maybe you're now self-employed and need some expert advice on what qualifies as a home office deduction. Or maybe you'd rather have an expert file your taxes for you so you can focus on what matters most. No matter what your situation is, TurboTax Live tax experts can answer your questions, give tax advice, review your return before you file, or even do it all for you. TurboTax Live gives you confidence that your uniquely you taxes are done right. Intuit TurboTax Live. File with the help of an expert or let an expert file for you.
Now back to Off the Vine with Caitlin Bristow.
Okay, you look like you're alive. Let's just start there.
I mean, I'm alive.
What the actual fuck?
Okay, I don't know. I've been so freaking careful.
How is it? I mean, I know as much as your fans, so, but how is it that after we've been so careful,
I know,
we literally were in cubicles in the whole during the whole season, I know, that you have to fuck it up and get COVID after. And by the way, there's this thing that my mom says, Mama Mai, every time life does you wrong, you kind of low key deserve it. So she always says, that's the God punish you. So that's the God punish you for winning that mirror ball, bitch.
You know what? I'll take it. It's funny because I actually agree with that. I always think when something good happens, I'm like, oh God, what's coming up? Because this means like, or if something bad happens, it can go the other way. Like yeah, if something bad happens, I'm like, something good must be coming my way. Because
in fact, there's this pastor that I used to love listening to. Her name is Joyce Meyer.
Yeah.
She's older. She's like more old school. She's got the John and Kate plus 8 haircut. Oh, she's not a Karen, but yeah, she's like a super Christian. I love the stuff she says. And she always would say, new level, new devil. If you get promoted in life and something new happens to you, be prepared because the devil's coming for you. So
I fully believe that. Say that again. What is it? New level, new devil?
New level, new devil. So when you are, and it's actually here, we're making a joke about it because you're okay. I'm glad to see you're bright. Yeah. Your skin is glowing. You look like you've visited today. This is good. But in life, whenever you reach a new, you know, a new level in your life, whether it's a promotion in your job or maybe you've come into a greater amount of money that you now have to be responsible for, there is a new devil. And with that comes, you know, greater responsibility and, yeah, and fill in the blank. So being aware of that keeps you humble and keeps you like, you know, warded up to make sure that you protect yourself and you make the right choices and all that, yeah, good stuff.
Yeah.
But otherwise, winning the mirror ball gave you COVID. So.
You know what? And it sounds scary and it is, but also like good things and bad things happen in life. And
right.
What was it that, what did you do in life to deserve your throat surgery?
Okay. So that's the one that I'm still waiting on. If I'm so honest with you, my epiglottitis, there's a word for it, people.
What is it?
By the way, okay, I'm that person that every time I see like a health ad on TV or like a new medication that's going on, you know, the fine print on the bottom that tells you like on and on, like you may receive hair loss, you know, 10,000, you know, 1 to 12 Americans may receive this or whatever. It's like the crazy, you know, fine print at the bottom. 20,000 people in the world annually get epiglottitis.
Oh.
I'm one of them. In 7 billion people, 20,000, that's a pinprick. And I got it. And so I've asked God so many times. I'm like, "Por qué, man? Like, why?
Right.
What did I do?" And I've looked at, I mean, like the jerky things that I've done in the past quarantine year would be maybe I cut somebody off in line because I really wanted to not breathe in anybody else's air, or maybe I might have hogged more of the side of the bed than my fiance. Like there's right, little things. I don't think it amounts to throat surgery. So I still don't know, Caitlin. If you know, please tell me.
Yeah, I don't. I just feel like maybe you have something really big that's going to happen. And then you'll be like, oh, and I don't know. I don't know what that reason would be or what it is. But I don't think that was very fair because, well, you were the one, in my opinion, to beat on Dancing with the Stars. And I told you that when you came up on the first dance, I didn't know what to expect from anybody on night one. Like right, we're all seeing everyone that we all know, everybody's worked so hard and we're all seeing everybody's like level of dancing on night one for the first time. And when we went into dress rehearsal, I was like, she's the one to beat.
I'm out of here. Come on.
Where on
every fancy fingers. Are you really going to go there right now?
Ask Jason, my boyfriend. I told him, I said, you were the one that was going to, because of you are very lovable. You're very like, you want to root for you. You're just like this sparkling personality. And you just were always like it was a bucket list thing for you. You could tell you wanted to be there.
Oh, also, yeah, that's true.
You did. And you just had this like joy on your face while you were doing it. And you were good. You were really good. And Brandon has really good choreography, and you guys were really fun to watch. You guys were doing the lifts and you had lots of good choreography. Uh-huh. And the first time I ever watched, you came back up and I said, cause you were in the little pod beside me. And I said, okay, you're my favorite one to watch.
You know what? Wait, Caitlin, you did say that.
I
actually remember that now. You did say that. And I did not remember.
Yeah.
But now I do. And I really appreciate that. No, that means a lot, because for anybody out there who obviously now that we know the end result, you can right, only imagine. For me, my first impression, I love first impressions. So when I first saw you, I remember you had your hair beautifully coiffed. You have that like perfect model face and figure where it looks like you don't have split ends. You always wax on time. It looks like you pay your credit bills on time.
Glad like, I have you.
You look like you're good. You look like you have like a couple different flat irons options available because I'm like the type that might have a crusty one from Con Air like that I've had since high school. No, you look like you just have it together. And I'll never forget when I first met you, I'm like looking around. I'm like, okay, who's sitting around us, you know? And you were seated with your hands clasped. This is your thing. You sit at your chair. I wish people could see me. And you're like,
really?
Oh, you're so, like, it's interesting because after I got to know you, I thought you were just, like, mild-mannered, sweet, innocent. And then when I started reading your gram and I started, like, getting to know your personality when I would be, me and Brandon would be naughty around you guys, yeah. Then I was like, oh, okay, she's got it. She's got some sass in her. So you were always this. But then when you went out to the dance floor, I remember gawking at you. I remember the producer telling me, like, Jeannie, lean back over the stairwell. You could fall. And I was like, oh, okay. Because I was so over, like, watching you. And what I think mesmerized me most, besides your poise, because you're already, you've got that elegant, like, everything looks liquid. But I learned that the true art to dancing, besides nailing the move,
yeah,
is getting the fucking fingers right. because... Derek said it, everybody said it. You could dance and kill it like in the chest, in the hips, everything. But if your fingers are looking like this at the end, like yeah. Some scary, like Halloween Tree Ranch, yeah. They know you can't dance.
Then like
they
that guy on Scary Movie when he's like, use my strong hand.
Yes. Yeah. But the more you can, I can't even do it. But Caitlin has this like everything Caitlin does is, it's just, and so.
Because Artem hounded me for that.
Because of that, everything you did was so beautiful because it completed. Even if you womped over here somewhere, your finger would finish it so eloquently that it looked like, oh, yeah, that's what she meant to do. You know, so.
Well, thanks for saying that. But this, you can take all of this and then apply it when you have to go on the show again. Have you, I mean, I'm sure you've thought about it. Everyone, I said on my Instagram, like, what questions would you want to ask? And everyone's like, when is she going to get the opportunity to go on again? Because you really should, should be able to do it again. And would you want to? Because now you had a little taste of how hard it is.
Yeah.
Would you want to do it again?
You know, well, first of all of Caitlin's fans, so nice to meet you. Hi, everybody. I love her too. Same. thank you for watching and voting for us, by the way. Yeah. That's like a real thing. I've never in my life asked people to do anything for me. Like the last time I asked somebody was to, I think I asked somebody to pretend call me so I could get out of a bad date. That was like the last time I asked people to do something because I don't like to ask people to do things, but begging people to vote every week is very humbling. After a while, you don't give a fuck. You're just like, you know, people tell you on the street, like, oh my God, I love you. I watch you on Dance with Stars. You're like, nice. Did you vote?
Yes.
Did you vote with your boyfriend's phone? Did you
vote with your phone number?
Did you get online an email from your hotline email account, like your Hotmail? You know, like, did you really? So anyway, I love it, but it was such hard work. I don't know if I could go through it again. And honestly, Caitlin, this is going to be like sad Sam here. I was really depressed when I got off of it.
Ugh.
I really was because, I mean, only imagine if, thank God you didn't have COVID when you were just, you know, you went all the way to the end.
Right.
But for me, making it past the first one was like, it was beyond unbelievable for me. And I was having such a good time.
Yeah.
And like you, we put ourselves so much into it. So when you get removed for completely a reason that you did not wish upon, you did not want. It just, I was sad. Me and Brandon were like, we just, it was hard to take for a while. I mean, there was moments after where, when I got sick and I knew I had to go through surgery, we actually were kind of scheming a way where I could lie to my doctor and just kind of say, I'll meet you at ER and then go to practice. Like I really was thinking.
I believe that.
Sorry?
I said, I believe that because you guys, well, like I said, like you were really fun to watch. I feel like you had a really good partnership and it was one of those things where it wasn't like, okay, you tried and the judges said no, or people didn't vote. It was like, people really wanted to see you every week succeed. And for you to get something like so rare and have to have like, what was the timeline? And for those who don't know, like what exactly happened in the timeline from when you found out to when you had to get surgery?
Oh, okay. Okay. This will shock you. So, let's see, Sunday I went to surgery. So I would say Wednesday, I felt a little sick, like not flu, just a little sore throat.
Yeah.
And then I took a job, and in this job, I was sitting in under an air conditioning vent, and you know how studios can be really cold?
Yeah.
And I was wearing an evening gown to host this show.
Yeah.
So the studio, it was so cold, and I knew it. I could feel, like, you could just feel, this is not making me better. And so that air conditioning vent, I went home and I had shivers for like the next 4 hours when I was going home. Like going home, laying in bed, could not get warm. And you knew then I had chills, right?
Yeah.
So now, the next morning, I woke up with a throat thing.
Yeah.
So I went to, I called Brandon and I said, I'm not going to come in. So now this is Thursday. I said, I'm not going to come in. I think it was Thursday. Let me see. Thursday, Friday. I'm not good with days. Let me just say it was about 3 days. It was three days. So I felt the throat thing. I skipped a day. Stayed at home. The next day got up. Said I have to come to practice. So that was a Saturday, actually. So the Saturday I came to practice. And I said all of this. I have a YouTube series called Hello Honey. Yes. And Brandon was on it. So if you guys want to see like the whole footage of me dancing with my mask, my throat, I'm keeping it quiet because I don't want to spread anything. I want to keep my mask. I let Brandon know so that he knew, hey, I have a throat thing, but I don't know what it is. Yeah. But while I'm practicing, Caitlin, I start getting fever chills and I'm so cold in those rooms, which, you know, it's hot when you really dance.
Yeah.
Freezing. And I can't talk, not knowing that at that point, from that day that I got a sore throat to that air conditioning event, I got the condition became an infection. So now it's swelling up with liquid inside of my throat.
Oh, like, my gosh.
It's becoming abscess.
Yeah.
Right. So I dance, I'm talking to Brandon like this. Everything sounds like this. And he's like, why are you talking like that? I'm like, it hurts. My throat hurts, but I don't know that it's an abscess.
Right.
So I come home that night and I cannot speak because not enough air comes up for me to talk. So I'm like, this sore throat, I keep thinking sore throat. This is too much. It's not good. Let me write a note to my fiance to tell him I'm going to bed at 7:45. I'm going to bed. Please pray for me because if I can't get through this, I can't go to the camera blocking the next day, Sunday. I go to bed. I wake up. He's in bed next to me. I wake up not able to breathe. So I'm going like this sound where I'm like trying to get air in. I go to take an aspirin because an aspirin helps it, you know, come down. The aspirin won't go down the hole.
Oh my gosh.
That's when I really learned. I was like, oh my God.
I need to go to emergency.
Yes. So I went to the emergency room. I went to an urgent care. They gave me a steroid shot. I was immediately better. I was like, this is great. I'm going to practice.
Right.
My manager calls me and says, you need to go to an ear, nose, and throat doctor. You can't go to urgent care. By the way, I'll tell you the learned lesson after this. I'm like, no, I don't want to. I'm so excited to go to camera blocking because that's when you know if you're on your shit or not. Right, like that's when you can watch yourself over and over on your videos and make sure you got it. And I go, okay, fine. I'll just stop by because this doctor is waiting on Sunday in an office for me. So I'll just go.
Yeah.
Dr. Nasiri. He happens to be every artist. In fact, you should know him since you're a singer. Like his entire walls are covered with Ariana Grande. Adele, Sierra, everybody you can think of. So I walk in, he puts one flashlight in me and he goes, go over to ER. Your throat is closing. If you do anything that raises your blood pressure, it's going to close. And you have maybe a few hours. We got to pop all this abscess because it's filling up. So that's when I called Brandon and we were trying to scheme, but he couldn't understand what I was saying. I was like,
at that point, we're trying to scheme.
I was literally Chewbacca-ing him. We got a sister. Can't let Caitlin win.
Oh my gosh.
But I went in. And so to answer your question in the timeline, it was maybe 30 minutes. Putting the flashlight in, rushing to Cedars-Sinai, and then maybe 2 hours later, filming that thing that you guys saw when you guys announced it on Monday.
We were all genuinely sad. Like, I know I've said
this. How did they tell you guys? I actually don't know.
Well, I was freaking out because, okay, first of all, I thought you had COVID. And we're like going to do the practice where it was the, like
where everybody,
yeah, you have to dance against each other or like do the dance off thing. And you weren't in my group.
Which I'm so glad I wasn't. I did get the announcement. I had my little Latina, my bestie over there, Justina, and was it Nelly?
Yeah.
Something like that. Oh, girl, I was so happy. I was like, hey, me away from Ice Pants and Caitlin. I'm good.
Okay, Vinos. Do you own or rent your own home? I'm sure you do, and I've seen it in my comments on Instagram, and I bet it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy, and it's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com. All right, you guys, exciting news. Jersdays are back. All new January 7th, 8, 7 Central, only on MTV. The Situation forgets the plan at dinner, and then he forgets he's on a TV show, and a text from back home rattles the roommates and threatens to blow the whole vacation up. With more than 10 years of ups and downs and humor and heart, the cast always made it out on the other side stronger than ever. Until now. Angelina's wedding and the speech heard around the world left the family fractured, leaving the boys with only one option: make the family whole again. So DJ Pauly D takes over a resort, and with the help of Mike the Situation, Vinny, and Ronnie, they hatch a plan to reunite the girls, invite the extended family to distract them from all the drama, and hope for the best. It seemed like a great idea at the time. But with this group, you never know what will happen. So don't miss an all-new Jersey Shore this Thursday, January 7th at 8, 7 Central, only on MTV.
Now back to Off the Vine with Caitlin Bristow.
It was funny because, and I've said this on so many podcasts, that of course, like, it's a competitive show and we, you know, joke about who's going to win and blah, blah, but when you left, we all were genuinely sad and like missed your energy in the ballroom because you were always rooting so hard for everyone and cheering on everyone. And you had the biggest personality. And when you weren't there, we were like it was even just in the practice that we all noticed, like everyone's like, where is she? Because your presence was just missing. And so then people were all like hush hush about it. Something even got around where someone told me that you said the wrong thing to somebody. And I was like, what? What happened?
Wait, I love hearing this stuff. I love how rumors start. Oh my God, let me be a part of the rumor chain, please.
Well, I don't even remember who it was. It was somebody that wasn't a dancer.
Said the wrong thing. I wonder what that could have been. Cause I'm absolutely sure that I offended somebody. I'm sure that.
Oh my gosh. No, it's just, you know how rumors happen.
Yeah. But what I'm saying is I also believe, Caitlin, that rumors start from somewhere. You know what I mean? So I believe that I did probably say something and maybe that could have been a lead to a rumor.
I don't know about that. Everyone was sad you were gone. And then I found out, who did I talk to? Alan. I was like, what happened to her? And he was like, oh, she had a throat infection. She had to get emergency surgery. And I was like, holy shit. And so I was like, but she's coming back, right? Like, I didn't realize you weren't.
Yeah. But Caitlin, me too. After I came out of surgery, I was laying there and I was like, I gotta go. And they were like, no, you're out. And you're out, really, for anybody who has epiglottitis. Because this is so stupid. This shows you how stupid I am. Because I thought, I'm done, guys. Like, I'm good. I'm out. I'm good.
Right.
And they were like, no. This is your only respiratory canal. This is it. So if this doesn't heal properly, if there's any swelling, it's done. You can't. So think about it. If your finger doesn't heal, you probably you danced on your ankle, girl, like when it twisted or when it was something happened to it, right? On the first day.
Tendinitis. Yeah.
Boom. And you still dance on it. But at the end of the day, you can still breathe and your heart is still beating. So even if you have the biggest swollen ankle at the end, you can still get through a little bit.
Right.
You can't with this though. And that's why I had to, trust me. I went through legal. I was like, oh, I want to be back there. I did not want to quit.
You're such a fighter. You're such a go-getter, and that's what I would love to see you go back on the show. But I understand that, like, it's hard. That show is hard. Like the amount of hours.
How hard was it for you? Be honest. From a 1 to 10, let's say 10 is like doing something you've never done, like I don't know, going grave digging or going like deep sea dive. No, not deep sea diving. What are those people that work on that show where they dangerous catch? Is that
yeah.
Deadliest Catch?
Deadliest
Catch, working on that show, like things you've never done before. How hard was it for you since you've danced before?
Everyone said that, and I'm not kidding. I like bow down to everyone who's never danced in their life before because I found it really hard, like an 8 out of 10, because I haven't really like talked too much about this, but Artem was very hard to work with in a good way. Like I truly
so
believe
nice.
He
seems so nice. He doesn't seem hard. Brandon's hard. Brandon's mean.
Oh my God. No. Brandon Artem
made fun of me and named all my stupid moves. He called my feet Gus Gus from the fat mouse on Cinderella. Like, come on.
That's like cute banter. Like Artem would call me like amateur hour and like jazz 101. And like, he's such a nice person and he has the biggest heart, but in the dance studio, that guy means business.
Really?
Oh my gosh. Business. Like from the time we walk in to the time we're gone, it is straight.
Oh, I could see that. I could see that. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think it's just how like he was taught growing up. Like he's very harsh and he would say that. Like he would say that all the time. He'd be like, I know I'm really hard on you. And I'd be like crying like, okay. But it was also really hard because I think people held me to a certain standard that he was giving me really, really tough choreography. And I think the expectations were so high that if I didn't get something, it was like frustrating to him or like I would.
Okay, but give me his worst. Like what was his worst like snap at you?
Oh gosh. Like I remember him telling me that a person who had never had experience dancing could dance better than me.
That's me.
he's like, literally, I watched this and this shouldn't even be a conversation. Somebody who's never danced could do that. No. And I was like crying and he was like, yeah, but that's just like, he's a very, you know, straightforward.
Wow.
Yeah. And I cried like almost every day.
No. Yeah. Caitlin, I have to be honest with you. Your dancing is so beautiful. I really mean this. It's not just your nailing of the steps. It's your shapes and it's your body. Your body is made for your type of dancing. Like, you know, like there's a gracefulness and a sass. Cause even when you did, remember when you did you guys did some pop and lock, like break, your feet were like,
yeah.
Yeah. When you did that, I was like, oh, so she's got swag too. So it's not just, you know, the poetic, like graceful, soft, like, you know, ballerina style of dancing. So I really question like why you're not dancing like actually professionally, because you really are that good.
I have always loved to dance, but I think to be honest, I think the real reason I haven't is because I was told over and over and over again when I was about 20 years old that I was not good enough to be a dancer. And I was told that so many times that I quit and I gave up on dance. And I was like, I really was not at the level that I should have been to be a professional dancer. I just wasn't. And so that I think came up so much in my dancing experience on Dancing with the Stars, where I was triggered a lot with feeling insecure and not good enough because of being held to this certain standard of where I should be as a dancer. But it was really challenging, like mentally and physically for me in ways that I did not think it would be. Like I really did think I would go in there and just have a blast for all these hours and like, you know, walk out of it being like, woo, I can dance. Like, but it was really challenging. I wanted to ask you too, because so many people did think I had an advantage because of my dance background. I mean, Neve kind of as well. But in this type of show where it's literally a voting show, you have more followers than me on Instagram. Like, do you think everyone had a different advantage when it came to that show, given the fact that, you know, like Nelly, look at Nelly. He was so entertaining to watch. Could he dance? I mean, yeah, but not really in the ways that like ballroom style and what they were looking for. But he always had the votes every week because he was
here. And he's Nelly.
And he's award winning. He's Nelly. Exactly. He's freaking Nelly. So I'm like, do you think everyone had a different advantage to bring? Or do you think that my dancing really did give me an advantage over other people?
Yes, I do think the voting kicks it off hard. But let's be honest. I know you and I were both surprised when Sky got eliminated. Like, mm-hmm. I was shocked, right?
Shocked.
But then I started noticing something for me. My eye, first night, I watch everybody. I thought everybody was good. As soon as first night happened, first week, I was like, oh, wait, everybody's really good. I mean, Carol Baskin, okay, we know what that is, right?
Yeah.
And Charles even, like, that was really a struggle to watch because he's so sweet and he's such
a sweet guy.
But you could tell, like, you know, like, okay, only the strongest survive type thing.
Right.
And, but then by week, I don't know, six, by week five or six, I started to notice, I really want to watch people who give me the emotion and give me the, I think everybody votes for different reasons. You know, some people will vote because you're meticulously like, are you really dancing? And some people vote because of a vibe. Mm-hmm. And Nelly gave vibe. Yeah. He always gave vibe. Sure, he had his like signature swivel hips move.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he swivel hips, so why wouldn't he? Young swivel. But but then Justina also gave this like, she looked joyful. Like even with freaking Sasha running around in spandex leotard with his fruits and berries all out, she was like, yes. And I was like, oh my God, she's really feeling it. So, and I think that's probably why some people enjoyed my dancing is because I really was into it. Like I really loved it.
Yeah.
And I think something kicked in you midway through where I even saw for you, Caitlin, like you always had the moves, the poise, the steps. But after the Britney performance for you, that's when I was like, oh, like now I'm seeing more of Caitlin, which we know as your personality, people who watch your or listen to your podcast and watch your gram and watch you in all of your other productions, they know that you're sassy, you're fun, you're quirky, you're all these things. But on the dance floor, you can only be great, perfect dancer. Yeah. Then after some point, we started to see, oh, there's a pizzazz, there's a sass. Even, I'm going to tell you this, if we were on the phone while if we were talking while you were going through your weeks, I just couldn't talk at the time, but I would have like sign languaged you or something.
Yeah.
You could even see your personality after you and Carrie Ann had your exchange. Like, because at a certain point you were like, no, I don't stand for this and I deserve more.
Right.
And had you not done that, Carrie Ann might not have felt the need to like, explain why she was hard on you and whatever it was. But I needed to see that. Cause honestly, going back to the girl that was sitting there at her chair, that was like quiet and, you know, poised in the beginning.
Yeah.
If we saw that through the competition, I don't know if you would have lasted. People don't want to see the perfect dancer.
Right.
People want to see the person that is like enraged or offended or, you know, needing to break out of the cage. Like you kind of literally did. And for me, that's when I really enjoyed your dancing, but beyond more than I already did.
Yeah. It's the journey, right? You always need like a something to root for.
It's the journey, but it's the personality. I want personality. Like there's a million pretty girls and there's a million pretty dancers, but like, who's the one that's going to have a sense of humor, a sense of edge, you know, all those things that, you know, make you who you are. I think a good example of that is Cardi B.
Yeah.
Cardi B is like an over example of great rapper, great artist.
Yeah.
Cool performer. I don't know if we remember her dance moves like we do like Bruno Mars or Beyonce, but her personality, like done. It just adds all this sazon to all the raps, all the lyrics, all the everything. You know what I mean?
You know, what's so interesting is as you're saying this, I'm thinking about my experience on the show. And I think what's so weird is that's how I was as the Bachelorette. I was so quirky. I was so edgy. I would talk about whatever. I was like this person who I was myself. I was myself. I was just completely being myself. On Dancing with the Stars, I felt like I was holding back on my personality, on like who I really was, because dancing is such an insecurity of mine. And it was something that, that like, I'm like working through this right now, just hearing you talk about this, because I'm like, it was something that I struggled with, that I always wanted to be the perfect dancer. And I worried so much about that I think that's why I failed as a dancer back in my day, was because I was just focusing so much on the technique and just wanting to be a perfect dancer. And I held back on everything else. And that was my breakthrough on this show. And in just like general was forgetting that and not letting that, you know, hold me back anymore and having that breakthrough moment. And that's just so, it's just so interesting to think about.
Wow.
It really wasn't me at the beginning. Everyone was like, oh my gosh, who would have thought Caitlin's acting like little America's sweetheart over there. And that's just so not me. I'm like the Canadian edgy, not girl next door. And so it was so,
yeah, that's crazy. That is crazy. Cause I did see that about you. And then when I meet you and know you from your personality on the gram to like you outside and even our inside jokes that are, you know, too hot for this podcast. Like I got your sass and your edge. So you dealt with a little bit of a metamorphosis and a realization about yourself too.
Yeah. Oh, fully. And I do think that's why, like, when I say Artem was so hard on me, I think it was in a great way. Like, there were times where I was like, he hates me and I'm not sure if I even like him but it was all from a place of like, I think he cared and I think he saw my potential. And I think he was like, saw me holding myself back and I was comparing myself to the professional dancers. And I was like, why am I not like that? He's like, because you're not a professional dancer, like stop.
And you know, Brandon, isn't that funny when they would check us, like, you know that you guys are here and we're here, right? Like, how many times does our pro dancers go,
like, I would always be like, but Daniela does it like this, and he's like, you,
she's Daniela is my favorite to watch. When if anybody wants to be reminded of how a woman should walk into a room or how a woman should own the dance, like, that's Daniela. She was my like, I loved it.
I agree. She is absolute straight fire. You have so many other things going on. I've got my little, look, I'm so old school. I write notes down like on paper because I have like a prep doc that I like do all my research on, but then I write down little notes on paper so I can go through it.
Well, I'm happy. I'm so thankful that you're going to be on my podcast because I'm just going to tell you right now, I'm going to hit you so hard with so many questions about bachelor life.
Oh, good.
Like, meaning that whole part of your journey, because I've never watched The Bachelor, and I'm going to explain why on my show.
Okay.
And then I'm going to explain why you might break me into the first episode, because meeting you, I was like, oh wait, these bitches are real. you guys are cool. I always thought, I'll tell you on my show. So don't worry.
Okay. So let's talk about your show. You have a podcast coming out. It hasn't come out yet, has it?
No, it has. So it's called Listen Honey. Yep. It's been out for about a year now. So I have Hello Honey, which is a YouTube series. Listen Honey, which is a podcast. The YouTube is more of a fun story about my life, my everyday life. It's kind of
like
Oh, thank you. Thank you. So you see my mom on it, who managed to worm her way into Dancing with the Stars too.
Yes.
And then my podcast is all the things that I'm intrigued on learning, whether it's experts and people, fascinating lives. And also it's just that, like, the nerdy side of me, the introvert in me, just loves talking and getting to know people and learning things that I don't have access to, except to say, can you be on my podcast? You know, like, if you think about it, there are so many moments where there's a VIP room somewhere and you wish you could get the ticket into it, but you can't because you don't know the person or you're not famous. And I've had so many of those moments. So having this podcast is kind of the access to a VIP room where you get to talk to people and learn fascinating things, to talk about real social events that I am passionate about. Yeah. And also just learning more on how to be a doper person, discovering who you are.
All right, we're going to take a break because I wanted to, well, reintroduce you. I've talked about this brand before, but I love it. I'm obsessed with it. I'm not joking. You've probably heard me talk about it on the pod many times before, but Caldrea, your new go-to for home scents, cleaners, laundry, and more. So Caldrea was founded on a simple yet powerful idea that caring for your home should be a beautiful experience. 100% agree with this. We're home all the time. They have a mix of eclectic home and personal care scents to match your style. Whatever it is, their products are made with plant-derived and other thoughtful ingredients that are incredibly effective. And their basil blue sage countertop spray, it smells so fresh and so clean. It's made with essential oils like basil, sage, spearmint, and it works on so many surfaces like wood, tile, laminate, pretty much perfect for all around the house. And I know it sounds weird, but lately I've actually enjoyed cleaning my house because I'm not kidding. The scents of Caldrea's products make me feel like I'm on a vacation. I dare you to get it. dare you to like cleaning your house the way that I do. The basil blue sage scent I just talked about, it makes me feel like I'm legit hanging out in the French countryside. Just casually, but no, I'm actually right here in Nashville. No biggie. Also, you need to get their candles. The sea salt neroli is chef's kiss. It's got this lemon and juniper thing going on that I cannot get enough of. I've convinced myself that I need one in every room. When I lost my smell with COVID, that is honestly what I miss the most, is the smell of this stuff. Caldrea's unique scents transform your daily routine with a dose of luxe and a touch of good clean fun. So get 20% off with code OTV20 when you buy online at caldrea.com. That's caldrea.com. Discover your scent now. All right, Vinos, do you own or rent your own home? Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work. But you know what's easy? Bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.
You're listening to Off the Vine with Caitlin Bristow.
I feel like you have such a fascinating story, and I'm sure you've talked about it on your podcast and your digital series and everything, but I was reading, you lived, was it 16 family members in a three-bedroom?
Yeah, 15 family members in a three-bedroom home in San Jose, because when I'm first-generation Vietnamese-American, so when I was born in the U.S., my mom had immigrated 2 years before me. They were boat people, which was the story I told on Dance with Stars. And they escaped, only managing to bring just some of the family members. So for at least 10 years, these family members were kind of left back in Vietnam without the means to come until my parents sponsored them over. So when my parents sponsored them over, the whole country was in my house, dude. We were like, you know, we had fried rice and pho and bumbrio cooking in the kitchen. Then we had pancakes over here in the toaster oven for, you know, me and my brothers, because we were the kids that wanted to eat American food.
Yeah.
It was English, like trying ESL everywhere, teaching everybody how to speak English. I was teaching my aunts how to dance hyphy because we're from the Bay, trying to get them out of wearing pajamas in the middle of the day. Like, we can't do that. You can't, you know, which was funny because recently she hit me up and she's like, you know, today the people, they wear the pajama outside. And I'm like, those people, you were not fashion. That was not the same thing. So it's so funny. But yeah, it was a fun life. And I really think a great part of why I am the way I am today is because of that upbringing. I really respect family, elders. I love sitting there and talking to people who are older or in different lives than myself. All my friends, when you look at my circle of friends, are all very different. I've got friends from 68 years old to 22, just because I really love talking to people of different walks.
Yeah.
Because of my upbringing.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I don't like to think of myself as a sheltered child because I wasn't, but in that way, I kind of was, you know what I mean? Like I was very like, me and my sister and my parents, and we like had our little bubble of like our small town, and we grew up like that was just what we knew. And then when I got older and started to travel and see the world and meet new people, that's when I was like, oh my gosh, there's a whole other world of people. And like so many, I think it's so fascinating how you grew up. And of course, that has so much to do with who you are today. And I always found it interesting, and I know you've been very open about talking about like how important family is to you, how much you love that dynamic, but you haven't really necessarily seen children in your future, or maybe that's not in the cards for you. But now being engaged and he has three kids, has that changed your perspective, or what is your thought process on that now?
Yeah. Well, Jay, my fiance, he has two kids and there's a rumor out there for some reason online that he has three kids, which is really funny because he keeps telling me like, who's this third kid? And do we have to get him Christmas presents? Like, who's this third one? I'm like, you tell me. No, there's two kids. And I, right now, like being freshly engaged and in this new understanding of what a truly healthy relationship is about, I'm enjoying the healing process. I'm healing from so many things that I didn't even know were wounds that were still there from my past, I have to unlearn a lot of things at 40. Like I really want to unlearn the way we were taught to age, the way we were taught to be women, the way that we're allowed to speak and how we're supposed to love and how vulnerable is too vulnerable. You know, like I really understand now that being too vulnerable is actually no such thing. Like I really love this process. So I don't think about the kids as much, but I do spend right now this time really getting to know his kids and really like finding my role in their life, you know, and making sure they kind of get to know me. So that has occupied so much of my space. I haven't had time to think of anything else.
Yeah. But that's, I mean, I just like how you say you had to unlearn certain things.
Yeah.
We talk so much in life about learning and growing and evolving as women and as people, but there is a lot of unlearning you have to do about what, you know, either society or upbringing has taught you, especially about being a woman.
I think unlearning is the first sign of adulting.
Yeah.
Honestly, the first sign of adulting, I used to think it was making your dental appointments on time, which it still kind of is for me. I don't think I've gone, I mean, since COVID, I don't think I've gone for a cleaning since.
Oh, no.
Aren't you supposed to go like 3 times a year?
Yeah. I go like once every
two. Okay. Maybe once every two from here over here. But I floss every day. So don't worry, guys. But, and I use a water pick. But I have found that in adulting, when you start to unlearn things and you start to be open to saying, I wonder if what I believed this whole time is true. Let me really immerse myself in the right people and the right resources to start unlearning. And a big, big part of that is I'm thankful for, even though it was the most tumultuous and hard way to understand our government, but Black Lives Matter is the perfect way of understanding how corrupt our government has been to this group of people and how if we're not standing up for our brothers and sisters of Black descent and we're living in America, we're, you know, paying our taxes, we are a part of the problem. We have to speak out and we have to be anti-racist. What does that look like? You know, not just to be accepting of everybody. No, what does it mean to be active about speaking up for other people? Those are things that I had to unlearn. I had to unlearn that Christopher Columbus isn't really that great of a hero. You know, I had to unlearn that, right? Like all these, I had to learn the truth about slavery and what Black people were subjected to in the early years and why some of those stigmas still run today.
All these years later has still affected everybody. And that's it. I read a book. I'm blanking on what it was called right now. I listened to an audiobook and same thing. When you just said that, I was like, oh my gosh, same. I felt so stupid, which I should, after listening and learning so much and being humbled in these conversations. But that's one great thing that 2020 has brought, I think, is these kinds of conversations and certain awareness and change. And of course, still so far to go, but my eyes have never been open like this, like they have in 2020 to so many different things, that being one of them.
Right, right. Exactly. So unlearning is a big part of the process. And then leaning into just, you know, who you are as a woman. I don't know. How old are you? You haven't turned 40, right?
No, I'm 35.
Okay. Let me tell you, when you get there, I need you, like, promise me, if you can remember this, you guys hold Caitlin accountable here. Okay. 5 years from now, when you turn 40, I want you to just sit back and just bask in it. You're going to go through the emotions. You're going to go through the, oh my God, I'm 40. What does this mean? Am I getting old? You're going to go through all that bullshit.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden somewhere, something's going to click and you just won't give a fuck. And I'm not talking about not just giving a fuck about what people think and not giving a fuck about, but all of a sudden this new elevated calm will be available to you if you are willing to take it and just shut out the voices of everything else. And when you take it, you get this surge of confidence that is unlike your 30s and unlike your 20s. I don't care. You had the biggest ball topper of them all, which is winning the mirror ball. It's bigger than that confidence. It's like, you just like yourself and you just are great with it. And I can't wait for you to get there. I want you to text me and just say, I got it.
Oh my gosh.
I understand.
I'm writing this down to put in my calendar. I love this shit so much because I always tell my listeners about the age of 27, which it's not when you get confident or what, but it's a really pivotal time in life at 27 is when you start.
Yeah, you're right. Wait, why did you say why 27?
There's some some proof out there. I don't want to like get it wrong, but I think it's when your frontal lobe develops as a woman.
Okay.
I think
it takes that long.
Yes. Yes. 27. And it's when you start to want to learn more about yourself. And when you start to like see important things and who you surround yourself with, it's like the start of it. And it's like, I can really pinpoint a time when I was 27 when things changed. And now being 35, I'm like, oh my gosh, I've just grown so much over the last however many years. I can't do math. And then I've heard about 40s and how liberating they are, and how you do have that shift. And I'm actually excited to turn 40. Like, I'm not dreading it. I'm really not. I feel like 35 is so young. I feel like I have so much to like still learn. And I'm just like, the more every year I'm not like afraid of birthdays. I'm more like, oh, I'm like, oh,
yeah,
so much wiser that I feel like, but after 40, I think I'm going to get scared, but 40, I'm looking forward to because of what you just said.
Yeah. Yes. And so you'll remember me when I say this, it'll be a while from now, but I like that you captured 27 because you're right. You're right. I absolutely agree with that.
Yeah. It's like, I mean, I did not have my shit together at 27 whatsoever, but I wanted to start to like, you know, grow and learn about myself and have the confidence and like screw what other people thought. Like that's when it really started to change for me. But, oh my gosh. Yeah. 40 sounds great. And I've heard it from a lot of people, but I'm going to remember you when I have that moment and I'm going to text you.
Absolutely. And I'm going to be, who is this? Just kidding. I'm going to be like, dude, I freaking told you. And then I'm going to give you a list of vitamins to go buy.
No, I'm a vitamin freak. So you don't have to worry about that. But you've done so much important work in your life. Like I'm sure. And it has to do with, you know, going back to, again, how you were raised and how like you've just surrounded yourself with people from, like you said, all walks of life. And it's probably taught you so much. And you did something that I really appreciate and think it's great that you did some producing and you appeared in a documentary about sex trafficking.
Yeah.
Was that, how were your eyes open to that? And just thank you for doing what you've done.
Oh, thank you. So yes, I'm passionate to fight human trafficking. It is the second world's largest form of dark crime today, the selling and exchanging of human bodies. And I've just been fighting it for maybe about 10 years through the realms of, charity work, obviously going out to different brothels and countries and visiting it. Until now, it's just become more, not until now, but now I've been much more focused in the work in the United States.
Yeah.
Especially LA, because it's as prevalent here in the United States as it is elsewhere. Mm-hmm. So I actually helped to executive produce a documentary called Stopping Traffic. It's available on iTunes. You guys can go to stoppingtraffic.org. And this documentary was such a big part of the puzzle to me because there's no one source you can go to where it'll teach you the exact signs of trafficking and what you can do about it. Like, what are the exact ways that people can be trafficked today? Because it's not just sex. It's not just happening overseas. Kids aren't just being, you know, flown in cargo, you know, here. It happens in actually much more exposed ways that we don't see. And so this documentary, we broke down all the ways that you can catch trafficking take place and what you can actually do about it. And now we're in the production of our second documentary called Stopping Traffic 2. And this is going to be about the survivors and exactly how the 2% survive trafficking when they either escape or through raids and what their lives are like. Because what we want to really do right now in order to help put a stop to trafficking is to really put a spotlight of care and hope into these survivors so we can understand this the dark trail behind them and put an end to it. Yeah. Because people have to understand it more. I think trafficking is still that thing where people are like, okay, does that mean that girls are being tied up in basements? Does it mean that they're, you know, it's such a weird,
it's like a gray area that people almost don't want to learn about because it seems so dark.
Yes. Yes. And the answer is yes, it is that and more.
Right. Right.
So we have to be more aware of what kind of, as consumers, we need to be aware of where we're buying and shopping from, that making sure these manufacturers are doing things the ethical way. Then you have to also make sure that when you're traveling, you know, where, how present are you to look at the activity around you? And then you also have to be cognizant of these businesses that you support when you go into a nail salon or a massage parlor, like what exact type of businesses are being run here. There's a lot behind it. So definitely watch Stopping Traffic.
Yeah. And we can learn that from, and you said it's on iTunes?
It's on iTunes. Yes. And you can go to stoppingtraffic.org and follow Stopping Traffic on Instagram. Oh. And if you guys follow me on Instagram at the Jeannie Mai, you'll find out when the second documentary is coming out.
That's okay. So we'll follow you and then we'll get updates.
Yes, from that. Yes. It's coming out in probably 2022. We're working on it now.
Amazing. Wow. Good for you. That's important work.
Thank you.
I mean, like you have so much going on and so much fun stuff, but you're also doing important things. And that's, I just love that. And that's part of the reason I love having a podcast is having these kinds of conversations, but also, I mean, knowing that I have an audience that can hear you say that and go do that. And that'll make a change. You know, if somebody can watch it, if five people watch it, tell five people about it.
Well, yeah. It only takes one person to save a life. So yes, absolutely. Thank you.
Thank you. I have some questions from listeners.
Okay.
And it's somebody, I don't know where it is right now, but I know it's in here somewhere. Somebody wanted to know what your dynamic is on the reel with the other hosts, because you know how they, on shows like that, you want a dynamic group of people. You want people with different opinions. You want people that you maybe don't agree with all the time, but because that's the point of it, is to hear other opinions. But so what is your relationship like with the other hosts?
And you on guys the reel? Yeah, yeah. So my co-host on The Real, my favorite place to be when it comes to just catching up with my girls, is Lonnie Love. She's a comedian, Garcelle Beauvais, and she's an actress. She's a real housewife. She's everything. She's a model, everything. Adrienne Houghton, my girl from around the way. She's so awesome. She's, oh my God, an entrepreneur. She's also got a YouTube channel. And it's myself. And so all four of us, we celebrate just being a woman every single day on The Real. It's on Fox and it airs in select times in your city. So you just got to check it out. But basically we talk about every single thing under the sun, which I think helps make our dynamics so connected. Yeah. The fact that, you know, real women who respect one another can talk about anything and not shade each other or hate on each other for your different opinions. Right. We come from four different backgrounds. We come from four different lifestyles and we have our own struggles. And I think that one of the main things I learned in life is to expect not to like people. Like if you actually move food through life, meeting someone and kind of going, I don't know if I like, go ahead and already expect that. So that when you do find moments of connection or just moments of intrigue, it actually bonds you guys better. I think when we move through life expecting to like people, then we set ourselves up for disappointment. Right. We get frustrated when they don't agree with us, when they have different views, and that's not fair to them, right? So the thing that I love about the girls is we have very different opinions, and it just keeps the show super colorful, and it keeps me on my toes about what it is that I believe in and making sure that I stand for what I say. You know, sometimes too, in your 20s and 30s, you can go through life and just kind of speak outwardly about politics or men or women. And you can just say all these like super encompassing statements that aren't really fair and don't really, even though you say it, you may or not believe it, but what you say will really shape your mind. And you can really make your mind much more narrow by making these claims like, I don't like people who blank, or I would never do blank. Like those things limit you. Yeah. So I really enjoy a group of women who we keep ourselves open-minded to understand each other, but be open to also unlearning things on your own.
So true. I love that. I think that's so important. I always love the saying that you like are the sum of five people that you surround yourself with, because I look at like who have been my solid group of friends and who I do really surround myself with. And I have the same five friends for the past, like since I was probably 17, that really have kept me grounded, have really held me accountable, have been able to have these kinds of conversations with, and who I've like grown from learning from them. And I think that's so cool that you get to do that for work. You know what I mean? Like that's part of your
job.
That's
really cool that you've kept the same five friends.
Yeah. Yeah. Very close. Like talk to them every day. And it's crazy because usually you outgrow some people or, you know, you just don't keep in touch. But these five girls I can think of will always, I call them lifers. They'll just always, and they're incredible people who have their own little groups of friends who, you know, helps them grow and become who they are.
Yeah, that's so cool.
Yeah, it really is. I love that. Okay, a couple more questions. And then And then you have to confess something to me and then I'll let you go.
Okay, got it.
Well, your fashion, because fashion has always been something that's really important to you, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So one, so I wanted to know what it's like to work with Jennifer Aniston, because I heard you did her makeup. And two, yes. Camille Marie G says, what is your fashion inspired by these days, given the times we're in?
Ooh, that's a good one. Okay. So first, working with Jennifer Aniston, I've done her makeup a couple times. She's really chill and exactly what you see. She's very California cool, and she drinks a ton of water. Like, I drink maybe a gallon of water a day. Oh, and I learned from her just because I watched her just how fluid she looks. Like, well, as a makeup artist, you can tell right when your brush touches skin if the skin is tepid or if it's like it's super dehydrated. And I remember watching her skin flow with makeup, and I was like, I want to have skin like that. So I've drinking so much water since. And to me, like, my skin is everything. So I attribute that to Jen for sure. And then for my closet, Camille, hi, I would say the way I feel about my clothes is the same, whether it's quarantine or not. If it doesn't bring me inspo, income, or orgasms, it's not in my closet. That's the only three. That's like literally the type of things that I want in my clothes. And I want to look at my closet and you feel excited. Like, even if you're really lazy and you feel really gauzy, you can still wear a cool like sweat set that's going to like make you feel like you've got, you know, a whole situation going on. Like, I would never want to look and say, I don't have anything to wear, you know? Right. So because of that, I'm actually this year creating my first ever clothing line that is going to be full of sick, comfortable, forgiving, and also like wicked pieces that just make you excited about going wherever the fuck you're going to go. Even if you're going to Trader Joe's to get some of their hummus, I want you to have that awesome jogger pant that looks like you put some effort into it because it's made out of a great vegan leather that doesn't have to be, you know, expensive, but yeah. You look like, oh, you happen to throw them on with your Pumas and you're cute, you know, or if it's going to be an oversized dress that can be worn three different ways so you can just pack light for your trip or whatever it may be. Right. I'm excited about that. So my clothing line is coming out this fall. And if you follow me on Instagram, you'll find out how you can actually join me in creating part of the line.
Oh, that's a really cool idea, because obviously those are the people who are going to buy it. So smart of you to include them. That's so cool. I mean, even you going into, remember you, we'd be in like the parking lot and I'd be like, how the f*** you look that cute going into this? Like, you always, you know how to put outfits together. So I'm excited to see your clothing.
Oh, thank you, Caitlin. Yes. But it's also when you feel good, you just do good. Even if you don't, even if you're not the best dancer, let's say, if you feel good about yourself, you come off with this swag that got everybody else watching, and that's important, you know? So feeling good is really important. When we get out of this quarantine, it's so important that we have choices.
That's so true. Valley 1225 says, when will you get married? Because I know that's, how do you even plan a wedding in a pandemic? I know you got engaged in April, was it?
Yeah, well, it was actually March 27th. Yeah.
March 27th. Okay, so how do you wedding plan, and when do you know when you'll get married?
Good question. We are working on it. So every day we talk about it and we add little things to our ideas. I already kind of know what dress I want to wear. We already know the colors. So right now we're just waiting for the pandemic to just figure its shit out, because we don't want to endanger the people that we want to have at our wedding. So we're still kind of working on it all together is my answer.
Yeah. That's, I mean, how, I don't know how one would.
I know. Right. I actually learned that I think it's not only us, but it's J-Lo and A-Rod have canceled or postponed their wedding. And so has Gwen and Blake. So I'm like, damn, this is crazy. You know, it and then there, if you guys follow the news, I'm sure you might have heard about that small wedding of 60 people that was held in Maine, and they had one person that had COVID. Yeah. And from that one wedding, 138 people got COVID in different states that have spread from that wedding. They were able to trace it, and one older man died. So you know, we have to be very careful.
Yeah,
obviously, as you know.
Yeah. I went through the whole dancing, and I was around more people then than I am now. I saw one person, she got it. And the next day I was.
Oh, wait for it. I have plenty of questions for you on that.
Okay, good.
I want to know everything.
To your podcast. And then last thing, I make my guests confess to me something every single podcast. So you have to tell
me. Okay, so here's my question.
Yeah.
How extreme is this? Like, how, like, can you tell me, give me a couple ones so I understand.
Okay. Like my friend, Brett Kissel, he's a Canadian country artist. And he told me about how him and his fiance, like, decided before they had kids, they were just going to rage and party and like get everything out of their system before they had kids. And they went to Vegas and they met a Chippendales stripper and they just got along so well with him and they all got drunk. And
then, him?
Yes. And then they realized at one point he was definitely trying to have a threesome with them. And they like went back to their hotel and they were like, oh no, we just like really loved you as a friend. And that this 6'6" black man who was just so beautiful, and they were all drunk and he just planted one on Brett. And he was like, they were like, found themselves like trying to get out of a threesome. And this guy was kissing him. Anywhere from that to like pooping your pants in public, having a little accident, like anything that is really humiliating that you want to get out of the test.
Got it. Okay. On that note. Okay. Let me think.
Or it could be like you had this the most awkward interview with somebody and you said something embarrassing or you didn't know who they were and you said the wrong name, like anything.
Okay. I'll tell you this one. It's so stupid, but it was embarrassing because you have to understand this is like first date times. Okay?
Okay.
So I remember when my fiance and I, then we were just dating.
Yeah.
And I happened to come out to Georgia to visit him. And in Atlanta, I mean, everywhere we go, he's known.
Yeah.
Like as soon as he walks in the room, like everybody knows him, right? But particularly in Atlanta,
yeah,
you know, we can't pull up and get gas or like pull up to a stoplight without everybody in Atlanta like just knows and looks in cars. And so they'd be like, Jeezy, what's up? Oh my God, Jeezy. You know, it's the whole thing. So that was like, I was always like, wow, this is a lot of attention, you know? And a part of me was, a little part of me was like, well, God damn, I've been in TV for like almost 15 years.
Right.
Does somebody's grandma's next door neighbor know me? Like, can somebody, anybody, just somebody's kid remember me from some dumb shit? You know? And so we happened to go to this restaurant, and we walked in and we sat down, and this is new date time. So, you know, when you're in a new date, you want to be cool. You want to like, every time your man gets recognized, let's just say, then you're just like, oh yeah, you know, I'm used to it. It's not a big deal. You're not like, oh my God, you know, you're just normal.
Right.
So I'm keeping it cool, whatever. And then our server comes up to us and she's like, okay, can I take my, or she goes, can I take your order? Oh my God, I know you. And she's looking at me.
Yeah.
Well, I'm like, finally, great. I look like somebody. Yeah. Great.
Yeah.
And I'm like, hi. And she's like, oh my God, I love your shows. I can't believe you're here. What are you doing in Georgia? This is crazy. And she's looking around at her friends. And she goes, Brenda Song, I can't believe you're here with me.
Stop it.
And my fiance looks at me like, who the f*** is that? I'm just like, I'll have the tuna melt, please. Caitlin, I was dying. Because then how do you then say?
Yeah.
So I'm like, I'm not her. But I know you, though. I know you. And then you don't say, I'm not going to then say, you have to know me from The Real, or you have to know me from Dancing with the Stars, because then she's going to be like, what is that? I don't know. If she does that, then I'm even more stupid. So I just sat there and I just didn't know what to say. I was just like, no, I'm not her. But you are. I've seen you. I know it. I'm like, there's two Asian people in business. I could be the other one, but you don't know that one. So, okay.
Oh my gosh. That's really funny. Was your fiance or boyfriend at the time, was he laughing or was he like, oh my God?
No, I brought it up again recently and he just kind of was like, oh yeah, yeah. But the thing is, he doesn't know who she is. So if you know who she is, then it's kind of like, oh, come on, that's girls on Disney. She's like half my age.
Right.
And I don't think we look alike. But if you know, which I think you know, then you're like, oh my God. Cause that's like,
you, really get that a lot.
Sorry?
You get that a lot?
All the time.
Oh, okay.
All the time. All the time. In
hey,
fact,
this person's name. Tell me again.
What's
her name?
Brenda Song.
Okay.
Please do. And then you guys, Caitlin's fans, will you guys please tell me if you think we look alike, please?
Oh, no. Does she have the same personality or something? Is that?
Yes.
Like, same
yes. We have a similar voice.
Look
she has like a bubbly. But why can't I get Carrie Ann Inaba?
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. You don't look like any of these people, though. But
right. Then there's that.
That's funny. I know who this is now that I see her. But I could see if you guys have the same personality, like same energy.
Yeah.
But I don't think you look alike.
Well, there's
that's
it.
What I always get. It's people tell me I look like Miley Cyrus all the time.
I see it.
You do?
You see it. 100%. 100%. It's just that your mannerisms aren't like her. But yes.
That's funny. I'm really, really like Brandy, her sister, is one of my best friends in Nashville. And I said that to her and she was like, nah, I don't see it, which I guess is because it's her sister. So she would probably know her better. But I get it all the time.
Wait, you do, though. You absolutely do. And if you cut your hair short, have you ever thought of that? Because I loved her with her hair short. Loved.
Like how short?
Like when she had it short. Like
just, oh, yeah, no, I couldn't pull that off. No.
Yes, you could. I just don't know if your boyfriend would like it. That's the truth.
He's such a he loves long hair, which is funny because I know if I cut it, he would be like, "You're still beautiful." But he's like, he loves long hair.
I get it. I do.
That's funny. Okay, so to wrap it up, let's tell everybody where they can find you, your podcast, your mom. Is she on your podcast?
She isn't on my podcast, but she's on my YouTube. So My mom is The Mama Mai. On Instagram, I'm The Genie Mai, and my podcast is Listen Honey, which Caitlin's going to be on it, so you guys have to check it out. And Hello Honey is my YouTube series, and then you can watch me on The Real on Fox, and also keep in tune with follow me along on my Instagram so you guys can see when my clothing line gets launched.
Yes. Oh, I'm so excited for that. What do you know when yet, or that's to so people?
That's gonna be fall of 2021.
Okay. Amazing. Well, you're an incredible person. Your energy is electric. Awesome. I love talking to you. You have so much to offer. You've got so much going on and you're doing so much good in the world. And, I'm putting out positive thoughts for the wedding planning. So
thank you so much. And same to you. I'm so happy that we did this because I want to always know that we're still friends even after.
Of course. Look, there are some people on Dance with the Stars that I was like looking at their Instagram and I was like, you didn't even follow me back. And I was like, fine then. I was so sad. I thought I was like had this little family that I wanted to keep in touch with. And I like go to Johnny's page and I'm like, oh, I love you and you don't even follow me. So yes, I will never let you out of my life. We are friends now. And
thank you.
We're not cut from the same cloth because we come from very different.
But we have like a same kindred spirit.
Yes, kindred spirits indeed. Indeed. I've never said that in my life. That was weird. But thank you so much for coming on the pod and I'm so excited to come on yours.
Thank you. I love you guys. Take care. Bye. Thank you.
Thanks for listening. I'm Caitlin Bristow and I'll see you next Tuesday.
Thanks for listening to Off the Vine with Caitlin Bristow. Get new episodes every Tuesday exclusively on PodcastOne.com, the Podcast One app, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts.
Who's not with OTV?